Well, happy Hanukkah, everybody. If you didn't know, Hanukkah began last Sunday and ends tomorrow night at sundown. And so Hanukkah, if you don't know also, is an eight-day celebration, really, of freedom, and particularly of religious freedom and of self-determination and of the miraculous expression of the infinite expressing itself as life and as light. And so on an even deeper level, Hanukkah is a story about purpose and a story about faith. It is a story about stepping out in faith and what happens when we partner with the divine. And so in honor of Hanukkah, my talk today is called Light a Candle. And I'm talking about when we live with purpose, when we live with spiritual purpose, and when we live in faith, knowing that our needs will be met, that we will have what it takes to do what is ours to do, knowing that we are supported by the universe. What happens when we do that is we step into that flow of infinite good, and then we are supported by the absolute and supported by the entire universe. And so clearly, I am not a Bible scholar or a Torah scholar, but I'm going to talk about Hanukkah anyway. And so the story of Hanukkah says that after years of war, the Holy Temple of Jerusalem was recaptured by the Jewish people from the Greeks. And after it was recaptured, the pagan statues had been removed, and the temple had been cleansed, and new altars had been built, and holy vessels had been created. The temple had been rededicated with the intention of it being a place of honoring that Holy One, with the intention of it being a place of prayer and a place of communion, sanctified in recognition that that was a holy place and that that Holy One was present in that place. And so prior to the recapturing by the Jewish people of the temple, when the Greeks had possession of it, they had destroyed all the jars of sanctified oil that was used to put in the menorah to light the lamp. They had all been destroyed, but miraculously one jar of oil was found left in the temple. The only problem is that oil was only enough oil to burn in the lamp for one day. And the candle was to be lit day and night in recognition of or representing the fact that God is on the job 24 hours a day, day and night. So that lit candle day and night was representative of that. So the problem was they had oil enough to burn for one day, but it would take 8 days to go and get new sanctified oil. It was a 4-day trip out and then a 4-day trip back to return. And so the miracle that happened on Hanukkah was that the oil that was only enough to burn for one day burned for 8 days until they returned with the new sanctified oil. That's kind of like if you can imagine that your cell phone is charged to 10% and the charge lasts for 8 days. Would that be a miracle? Yes. It was that kind of a miracle, exactly. And so I think there's two pieces to this story that are really important to us today as metaphysicians, and they are symbolic within the story, the pieces that are important to us. And so one of those pieces is, before the miracle occurred, the temple was rededicated to its spiritual purpose. Metaphysically, metaphorically, we are that temple. We are that place that the Holy One resides within. And when we are dedicated to our spiritual purpose, seeming miracles occur. We all want to feel like we are where we belong. The temple, again, was where it belonged. We want to feel like we belong. We are where we belong. We want to feel at peace. We want to be out of war. We do not want war. We do not want strife. We want to be out of conflict and instead to live with ease and peace. Think about it. That's what was happening in the temple then. It was back on purpose, where it belonged, free from conflict and free from war. When we are dedicated to living with spiritual purpose, we then feel peace and we feel fulfillment, just like what was happening in that temple. When we are dedicated to living with spiritual purpose, we feel as if we've come home. We feel like we are where we belong. When we are dedicated to living with spiritual purpose, the universe, the entire universe, supports us. Like the candle continued to burn, it was sourced by that one source. We are sourced when we're living on spiritual purpose. And so to live with high spiritual purpose, some of what that means is to live from a place of love. Part of what that means is to live from a consciousness of oneness and a consciousness of unity. It means to live from a place of generosity of our own spirit to other people, to the people we come in contact with. It means to be a beneficial presence in this world. When we do those things, we are living with high spiritual purpose. And the thing is, you can't separate God out into pieces and parts. You can't say that God is peace and that that peace is separate from the light. You can't say that that light is separate from love, or that the love of God is separate from the infinite good of God. It's all God, and it's all inseparable. So when we live in that intention and commitment to live with spiritual purpose, we don't just open ourselves up to peace and to love. We open ourselves up to the allness that God is. We open ourselves to the allness of God, and we become available to it, and it becomes available to us because we have stepped into the flow, because we are being conduits for that presence. We've stepped into the flow, so we stepped into the flow of the allness of Spirit, and that flows into our lives and flows through us. And so when the temple was rededicated to its spiritual purpose, the result was the miracle of the light. When we are dedicated to our own spiritual purpose, the miracle occurs within us of peace. And the miracle occurs within us of joy and of fulfillment. The miracle occurs within us as feeling as if we've come home to ourselves. As if wherever we are in our lives, we feel like we are home. And we open ourselves to abundance and to prosperity and to all the good that's available in the universe. We are then on purpose. And we then are in the flow. And so the second part of the story, the Hanukkah story, that I think is so pertinent and so important to us is that you recognize it was in their gratitude and in their love of God that they rededicated the temple. But then what they did is they lit the lamp. They stepped out in faith. They were the ones that made the first move. They didn't sit around and wait. Oh, maybe I'm not ready yet. Oh, maybe I don't have what it takes yet. Oh, maybe it's not time. Maybe I don't know enough. They didn't wait. They stepped out in faith and acted as if. That's what we have to do when we stand in our faith. We act as if. So they stepped out first, partnering with that divine presence. Doing their part and partnering with that divine presence, partnering with the one and only power that exists in the universe. That was their philosophy. There's one God, not two. And they also don't believe in the devil as an entity. There's one power. We partner with that one power. They acted as if they did what was the inner work to do, and then they stepped out in their faith. That's what we mean here when we say treat and move your feet. You do the spiritual work, you do the affirmative prayer, the spiritual mind treatment, and then you step out and do your part. The phrase doesn't say treat and then sit on the couch and worry. It says treat and move your feet. Act as if God is already partnering with you. Act as if you already have what it takes. Act as if you know what you need to know and step out. They did not let doubt stop them. They didn't let their what ifs stop them. They didn't say, what if this doesn't work? What if we don't have what it takes? Instead, they trusted that they had what they needed. They trusted that their needs would be met by that infinite presence. That's what we are being called to do. They did their part trusting God, trusting life, trusting the infinite, trusting the spiritual powers in this world. And so the Hanukkah invitation for us, I think, is to know that we are supported and sustained by that one presence and power, by the one and only presence and power, that we are supported and sustained by it all of the time. And then to step out and act as if. And so Alan Cohen has a story that speaks to this. It's called How to Pray for Rain. When a town in the Midwest was going through a long drought, the townspeople decided to gather at church to pray for rain. Among them was one little girl who brought an umbrella. Everyone thought that this was very cute, but when the crowd exited the church, clouds had gathered and they found themselves in the midst of a huge downpour. Their prayers were answered on the strength of the little girl's faith. Faith in mind is crucial, but faith in action is magnetic. Your faith is not whole unless you are taking steps to do the things you are praying for. When you pray for one thing, but act as if another will happen, you are affirming with your deeds that the opposite of your prayer will come true. If you want to manifest a chosen result, take action towards the object of your prayer. Take a few moments today to consider if your actions are lined up with your prayers. If you would really like to live in a certain area of town, drive through it. If you want a particular car, take it for a test drive, even if you don't have the money to buy it today. If you are attracted to a certain person, quit worshiping him or her from afar and have a conversation. Or ask him or her out for a date. You will be amazed at how much more substantial your idea feels when you take a real life step toward it. The world is advanced by vision and action of those who live on the cutting edge of faith. So it is with your life. You have nothing to lose by bringing an umbrella to your prayer session and everything to gain. You act as if your prayer is already going to unfold it. You act as if you have what you need and what it takes to do what your dreams are calling you to do. The story of Hanukkah is inviting us to know that when we stand in faith, when we stand in trust, when we stand knowing that our needs will be met, the universe responds to us. That's the crux of the story. And so in Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, there is but one activity which is perfect. Nothing has happened to it. Nothing can cut it off. It is always operating. That presence is always operating in your life. And so when we step out in faith, and do whatever the next thing is right before us to do in trust and in faith and partnering with the divine, we open ourselves to miracles. We open ourselves to all that we need. We open ourselves to guidance. We open ourselves to resources that show up out of places that we don't even know how they could be there. When we do that, we open ourselves up to creative ideas and creative solutions that we might never have thought of. We open ourselves to the opulent good that is the very nature of God. And so we are being called to remember that that infinite presence is always right where we are. We are being called to remember that our life, the life that we are living, is the very life of God unfolding itself by means of us, by means of our choices and our actions and our focus and our words and our beliefs. We're being called to know that there is a power that is so much bigger than any doubt or any fear or any seeming limitation. Ernest Holmes says, "The positive thought of truth is a shield against nothing unlike itself can stand. In the science of mind, we learn that no thought of negation can enter a mind already filled with peace and faith. The suggestion of limitation, fear, and doubt cannot find entrance to the mental home where God is enthroned as the supreme guest." Where God is enthroned as the supreme guest. That's what was happening in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. God was enthroned as the supreme guest. We are invited to live that example. And so my invitation to you this week is to partner with the divine in everything that you do. Whatever things are going on in your life, whatever your goals or your dreams are, partner with the divine presence as you do what is yours to do. Do not think that you have to do it or go it alone. There is an infinite intelligence, an infinite creative power, an absolute wisdom and knowingness, and something that can orchestrate things on your behalf when we stand in faith and know that. Know that that divine presence leads you and guides you and makes the way open and plain and smooth and easy. And live in faith and live in trust that life is for you. God is for you. And if God is for you, that means life is for you. Lead a life of high purpose, and that will result in deep fulfillment. Live with spiritual purpose of love and of oneness and of unity and of generosity of spirit in this world. And as you do that, seeming miracles will occur. And so happy Hanukkah to all of you, and blessings to you on this path. And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer as we affirm the truth that is always present, whether we recognize it or not. And so today we recognize that infinite presence that is right here, that infinite presence that fills this room with all of its beingness, that fills this room with all the light that it is, and all the love that it is, and all the goodness and the peace and the joy and the abundance. Not only does it fill this room, but it fills every space and every moment in this entire universe. For it is omnipresent in its fullness, omnipresent in its wholeness, omnipresent in its allness. And so I recognize that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, that that presence is always closer than our very breath, nearer than our hands and feet. That that presence fills our bodies and fills our minds and fills our thinking and acts as inspiration in each one of us. That it speaks to our hearts as a deep knowing, that it speaks in our bones as a deep knowing that all is well. That all is well in our lives, that all is well in every moment, because that presence is right here. And within it are all possibility. Within it is infinite potential. Within it is the thing we call the kingdom of heaven, which is really right here in our recognition of this one. For the kingdom is within us, and the kingdom is all around us in our recognition of this divine light and this divine life. And so today we stand in that, knowing that, yes, indeed, that presence goes before us into all that we do and makes the way plain and smooth and easy. That we are guided and we are guarded and our needs are met so that we might be here as representations of that light of God in this world, making a difference wherever we go, bringing our light and our heart and our love and our open hands wherever we go. What a blessing it is to be participating in this life of the divine as our very own life. And so it is with gratitude that I say thank you, God, for all of this. And so I release this prayer knowing that it is unfolding itself in a most miraculous and beautiful and satisfying way. And so I release this prayer and I say, and so it is.